Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Raising teens and young adults can be a unique time that many are unprepared for. In Legacy of Love, Biblical Wisdom for Parenting Teens and Young Adults, Kimberly Hahn draws from Proverbs 31 to help families navigate the transition from childhood to adulthood. Learn more at stpaulcenter.com.
Hi there, this is Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and the Franciscan University of Steubenville. And here we are on Wednesday, the fourth week of Advent. Wow, it is getting so close. This is so exciting. And, you know, one of the nice things about this year is that we have a really long Advent. We have a full fourth week, and we oftentimes don't get a full fourth week of Advent, but we certainly do this year. Comes at the expense of having a shorter Christmas season because the Feast of the Baptism is going to fall on January 9th already, and it's going to cut that short, so we don't have much of a Christmas season. But let's enjoy Advent while it lasts. And boy, this is a fantastic reading. December 21st, what great readings we have for today. What is notable about this weekday is it is one of only two times in the church's calendar when the Song of Songs is read as the first reading. So I hope that your homilist or celebrant chooses the Song of Songs option for our first reading. The other time the Song of Songs is read is on the feast day of St. Mary Magdalene. But here we go. Just a few days from Christmas, we have one of the few readings from the song. And it comes from Song Chapter 2. Hark, my lover, here he comes, springing across the mountains, leaping over the hills. My lover is like a gazelle or a young stag. Here he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattices. My lover speaks. He says to me, arise, my beloved, my dove, my beautiful one, and come, for see, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, etc. And he invites the beloved, the bride, to run off with him into the spring countryside. So we have this very romantic poem about this fiance, shall we say, who comes bounding down out of the hills until he's standing outside of the garden where the future bride is located, and whispers sweet nothings in through the lattice. So what is something like this doing leading up to Christmas? And the answer is because the church fathers regarded the nativity, the incarnation of our Lord, as a kind of wedding. It is a wedding of human and divine nature who become one flesh in one person. Just like Adam and Eve became one flesh and one person in Genesis 2, so human nature and divine nature are united in one person in Christ. Jesus is a wedding in a person. He unites God and man in himself, humanity and divinity. And so that wedding of humanity and divinity was seen by the church fathers as anticipated by this beautiful wedding imagery and courtship imagery from the Song of Songs. This passage from Song 2 is shortly before the wedding takes place, and that's kind of where we are on December 21st. We're a few days before this wedding of humanity and divinity in Christ. And of course, there's a lot of other connections there as well, because the bridegroom of the Song of Songs, who's called my beloved, all through the Song of Songs, which in Hebrew is my David, of course, Jesus is the son of David, the beloved one. He is the bridegroom, and there's going to be all this bridegroom imagery in the Gospels associated with Jesus, especially in the Gospel of John, especially at the cross and the burial of our Lord, which John presents as a bridegroom giving his body for his bride. So a lot of beautiful stuff going on there in Song chapter 2, the romance of humanity and divinity, the romance of Jesus, the bridegroom who comes for us, his spouse. But the alternate reading is also very nuptial. It's from Zephaniah 3, 14 through 18. It says, "Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with your heart, O daughter Jerusalem." Now, what does the imagery mean here? On the one hand, it's referring to the city of Jerusalem, but then Jerusalem is represented and embodied here by this female figure who's called Daughter Zion. Elsewhere in the prophets, her full title is Virgin Daughter Zion. What's that all about? Well, Zion is sometimes synonymous with Jerusalem, but other times it refers to only a specific part of Jerusalem, a part of Jerusalem that was really the royal residence. It was a spur off of the larger mountainous formation on which Jerusalem was built. And on that spur that had steep sides all around, except on one end, which made it easily defensible, that's where the king built his palace, and that's where his family lived and his bodyguard. And so it was in Zion proper, the royal quarter of the city of Jerusalem. And so the virgin daughter Zion would refer to a unmarried princess from the royal house. And she would be no doubt very beautiful, because all the king's wives were beautiful, and she would have been very wealthy and dressed wonderfully and had her hair all well done. So very, very attractive, very eligible young woman. And when we go on reading in Zephaniah, we find out that the royal bridegroom is coming to marry this young princess. "Sing joyfully, O Israel, be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear." Look at that. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. In Hebrew, that's like within your belly, okay? Keep that in mind when we move to the gospel reading, right? "You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst." There again, in your innards, in your belly, a mighty Savior. "He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you as one sings at festivals." Okay, so the King of Israel comes to daughter Jerusalem. So the imagery here is of the bridegroom king processing up to Jerusalem, and this princess bride is watching from the walls of the royal quarter at her future husband riding up, you know, triumphant probably from battle, and the royal wedding is going to take place. But metaphorically, she represents the whole city, etc. And then we move to our gospel, and it's about the Blessed Mother. Mary set out in those days and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Now remember, the Lord, the King of Israel, is in Mary's belly, you know, within her, you know, and she is the virgin daughter of Zion. She is the unmarried royal princess, well, betrothed to Joseph, but, you know, not living with him yet. But she has the king within her. She is the figure being spoken of in Zephaniah 3. And then when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. That's John the Baptist. The word for leaping here is used of David leaping in front of the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament accounts of the Ark of the Covenant coming up into Jerusalem in 2 Samuel, more especially in 1 Chronicles, especially in the Greek version. So we're picking up that idea of the Blessed Mother as the Ark of the Covenant and John the Baptist leaping just as David leaped in front of the Ark. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women." Okay, we're more familiar with the more literal reading, blessed art thou among women. But that phrase, blessed art thou among women, that is a Hebrew idiom. Hebrew does not have superlative forms like most or best. If you want to say someone is superlative, like if you want to say that Bill is the fastest human being, you'd have to construct that in Hebrew like this. Bill is fast among human beings. And again, that's a Hebrew idiom for Bill is the fastest of all human beings, like the fastest sprinter, something like that. So when Elizabeth says, blessed art thou among women, in Hebrew, that means you are the most blessed of all women. And our Mass translation renders that pretty well. Most blessed are you among women. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. This also implies that the fruit of your womb is the most blessed of all fruit of wombs. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? That's a royal title. Mother of my Lord is the title of the queen mother. Remember that in the kingdom of David, the mother of the king reigned as queen, not the wife. And so Mary, as mother of the king, is going to be queen. She's going to be queen mother, in Hebrew, the Gebirah, which literally means the big lady, the mighty woman. And Elizabeth recognizes Mary's royalty here. For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. She says, blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. So Elizabeth calls her blessed, not merely because she biologically is going to be the mother of the Messiah, but especially because she is a woman of faith. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. And you know what? Blessed are you and I when we believe that what is spoken about us in Scripture will be fulfilled. And what is spoken about us is that when we receive the Holy Spirit through baptism, we are empowered to live lives of holiness, lives free from sin, and that we are given the power to conquer sin and to conquer the evil one, and that our prayers are heard by God. So let's believe these truths today, and let's live and walk in victory and believe that what the Scriptures say about us is true as well, that the Lord is in our midst, that the Lord is within us, as he was within Mary, because he dwells in us through the Holy Spirit given to us at baptism, renewed at every Eucharist. This has been Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and the Franciscan University of Steubenville, wishing you a happy and holy Wednesday of the fourth week of Advent.
Thank you for listening to Letters from Home, the Scripture Reflections podcast from the St. Paul Center. Listen daily with reflections from Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Shane Owens, Ms. Joan Watson, and Mr. Clement Harold. Our production team includes technical director Rory Mitrick and producers Olivia Mosier and Joseph Palmer. Our mission at the St. Paul Center is to help you read Scripture from the heart of the Church. Subscribe and share Letters from Home, as well as Dr. Scott Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed. For more faith-based resources, books, and Bible studies, visit stpaulcenter.com.